Chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. This is the word of the Lord. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is the word of the Lord. The book of Acts is the story of the church. It's not the beginning of that story, but it is the beginning of the church's life under the new covenant. And the life that we see in this book, this life of the church, it is a life that is marked by contrast. At once we see the church dwelling in peace, but then we see the church suffering persecution. And within that persecution, what is true for one is not true for another. Some remain, others flee. One is killed, another is imprisoned, while yet others are devoted to prayer. Once we see the church divided in controversy, but then we see the church united of one accord. We see brothers bound together in love. But then we see those same brothers separate in sharp disagreement. All of these things are things that are true of the church in this world. We cannot say that one of them is truer of the church than another, such that we may somehow expect what our own life in the church in this world will be. Will we live in a time of peace or a time of persecution? If persecution, will we be killed or imprisoned or left alone to pray? Will we be divided in controversy, or will we be united and of one mind? Will we remain bound together in love? Or will sharp disagreement separate us?
any one of these things could be true of us. For each one is a part of the church's story in this world. Each one is a part of her life in this age. The church is one body. But she is also many members. Whatever is true of one of her members is true of the body, but not all that is experienced by the body is experienced by every member. And so we are called to accept the lot that has fallen to us. Whether that lot is pleasant or not. Whatever that lot may be, we are called to endure. And yet, in the midst of all this difference, there remain certain things that do not change. There are certain things that remain true no matter our lot, no matter our time. For whatever our lot may be, whatever our time may bring, still our Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, ruling over us and interceding for us. Still his Spirit rests upon us, working in us all his holy will. This sustains us. Not the time given, but the one who gives it. And whatever we must receive from his hand, we have this comfort that we receive him with it. Will not leave us or forsake us. Behold, he is with us to the end of the age. Even so, would anyone write the story of the church in this way? Would anyone write the story of his own life in the way it has been written? We do not understand always why the author of all things has written what he has. We do not always like what he has written. So he has written it. We are told that he has written it in love, and that he is working it for good. We do not always see the good, but he does. And so we leave it to him. And like weaned children, we entrust ourselves to him. Yet we should not suppose that this is ever easy. For it is often with a broken heart sea.
He is near to the brokenhearted. And now at the end of Acts chapter 15, how great is our need that he would draw near to us. Here is one of those times in the life of the church that we would prefer had not been written, that it would not be a part of her story, that it could not be a part of her story. Here are our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, separate from one another. First, consider these words. We concluded that their separation is a failure to love. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It bears all things. Yet this does not mean that there is never time to separate. Surely we saw that in Acts chapter 14 with those who were poisoning the minds of others. Separation may always include a failure to love, but it is not always both parties who have failed to love. There are times when separation is even necessary. Because one refuses not only to love, but is bent on destruction, whether of the mind or the body or the soul. Surely there are times when we must separate because another has set his face against the Lord. We are called to let go of all things for the sake of our union with him. Such separation, even when it is necessary, even when it is good, is full of sorrow and anguish. It can leave one wounded with wounds that in this life will never fully heal. It is not always the case that our separating from another means that we have failed to love. Though none of us would ever suggest that we have ever loved perfectly. But the sorrow that we have here, we have here at the end of Acts chapter 15, not that sorrow that belongs to separation that is necessary, a separation that is even good. It is the sorrow that belongs to separation over a disagreement. Disagreement that did not require brothers to separate. It is the sorrow of separation between brothers
who remain brothers. It was not necessary that Barnabas and Paul separate. It was not required that they separate, and yet they did. That is why we say that their separation was a failure to love. And yet we may ask, were they wrong to separate? I do not think that we may say that they were. Is it wrong not to love? Is it wrong to separate in anger? Surely that is true. But were they required to stay together? They were not. The only bond that bound them together was the bond of love. And that is the way with friends. That is the way even with brothers. They are called to live together in peace. We are not always called to live together. We say that they were not wrong to separate. We should not suppose then that they were right to separate. For we cannot say that their separation was good. You can say that the Lord still uses it for good. For even separated, as churches to which they went, they were strengthened. Here again, we must entrust ourselves to that one who sits at the right hand of the Father, knowing that his love is greater than our failure love. And his grace is able to restore what we have lost and to give not only that for which we have asked, but even that which we have refused. Suppose that our beloved Barnabas and Paul are still separated. Whether they were ever reconciled in this life, surely they are reconciled now. See how his grace turns every sorrow to joy. Love is greater than our anger. His humility is greater than our pride. His patience is greater than our strife. His grace is greater than our sin. So we are free to examine our hearts before him and to confess whatever is false in them.
Not every disagreement in the church will be resolved in this life. Not every disagreement in the church can be resolved in this life. And though we are called to live together in peace, to think each other more significant than ourselves, yet it is not always the case that we do. And so the church will always be broken in this life. Yet the one who is her head, he cannot be broken. And though we may be separated from one another, we cannot be severed from him. In the end, Christ will have his way. Heal what has been broken. He will restore what has been lost. He will unite what has been divided. He will reconcile all things to himself. Right, what is wrong in the life of the church? At times we must simply accept the lot that has been given. And though we weep, fear not. All the tears that we have here shed, he will wipe from our eyes. And then at last, we will know the fullness of this truth. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Then at last, we will know the fullness of this blessing, life forevermore. Amen.